Hi there, and welcome to the next DBN podcast episode. My name is Melanie, and today I'm joined by Jan Cook from Jan Cook Wills and Trust. Good morning, Jan. How are you?
Morning, Melanie. I'm great. Thanks. You?
Good. Yes, not too bad for an autumnal Monday morning. A great start of the week, though. I get to talk to you.
Jan,
for the purpose of all the listeners out there, can you just officially introduce yourself and your business?
Yeah, well, I, as you said, Jan Cook from Jan Cook Wills and Trusts, and basically I provide an estate planning service which gives my clients peace of mind. I sit down with them and discuss what they want to achieve and the level of protection and guarantees they want, and then advise them on the most appropriate options for them, for their family, and for their circumstances. Because there's no such thing as one size fits all with this type of legacy planning. It's different for every client.
And I know that recently you did a podcast with another DBN member, Alison Dorr. Can you tell us a little bit about that one? Because that one was very personal to Alison, wasn't it?
It was, yes. I go on all the time about the importance of having a will in place, but equally important is that people know where to find it once you've gone. And sadly, Alison lost her father over the summer, and the family were under the impression that he had made a will in the previous few months. And then when he died suddenly, they weren't able to find it anywhere. And Alison just wanted to get the message out there about how important it is because of the impact it's had on her and her family, trying to get things done and move things forward with probate and tying up all his financial things without actually having a will. So I think she realised just how important it is to have one, but also that people know where to find it. So we had a nice chat last week about that. Yeah,
it's, you know, unfortunate that it's come to this for Alison, but at the same time, it's really sort of good that she's wanting to get that message out there and help other people to not have to go through what she had to go through, you know, because
it was really kind of her to share that and to help get the message out there. Yeah.
And it's not all doom and gloom, is it, Jan? I mean, people who come to see you about advice and what they need, there's a lot of different scenarios that you can help them out with. Can you just give a couple of examples of, you know, a couple of the services?
Mainly it's around wills and trusts, but also powers of attorney. And I also do business protection, which a lot of people don't think about. You know, how would they protect their business if something happened to them? But the majority of it is personal wills and trusts. But often people are concerned about things that are going on within their family. Say they might have the son or daughter-in-law from hell, and they want to protect their assets from going away from their bloodline when something happens from them. And also with remarriage, where somebody gets divorced and then married again, it can end up that the children from the original couple end up with nothing. But once people sit down and you can allay their fears a little bit and just explain what the options are and that it's not a lost cause, there is always something that you can put in place to protect your assets and to make sure that they go to the people that you want them to. I mean, the other big thing that people are concerned about these days is protecting their property from being used to pay for care home fees. There's quite a difference of opinion about that. I mean, obviously, a lot of people would be of the opinion that, well, it's got to be paid for somehow, so if I can afford it, then why shouldn't I pay? And that's fine. But for a lot of people, it's the injustice of the difference between you can be in a room in a care home and paying full fees and somebody in the room next to you who maybe hasn't been as careful with their money, you know, hasn't saved as well as you have for the future, and they can be getting exactly the same kind of care totally free of charge. And I think that's what people get more concerned about, is the inequality of it. And you know, if they've worked hard to get their assets in place for their children to inherit, then they want to try and protect that as much as possible. So again, knowing that there are things that they can do to make sure that they can protect as much of their estate as they can generally does give people peace of mind.
Mm-hmm. No, that's some really good advice there, Jan. And just as well, just so everyone gets to know a little bit more about Jan and you know, what makes you tick and where you come from. I know a little bit about you and especially your husband.
Everybody knows my husband.
Your husband taught at my school. But tell us a little bit about your business journey, Jan, and how you ended up doing, you know, what you're doing today.
All right. Well, it certainly wasn't intentional. I didn't set off thinking I want to be an estate planner. And the majority of my career couldn't be further from what I'm doing now. If somebody had said 10 years ago, you're going to be dealing with wills and trusts and powers of attorney, I would have just laughed hysterically at them. I worked for 30 plus years in further education. Latterly, I was a curriculum manager, so I was planning curriculum, responsible for student discipline, for staff, for funding, you know, all of the things that go on in FE. And I come from a generation that thought, you know, you had a job for life. You got your career and you'd be there till you retired. And I know that sounds daft because the youngsters these days just don't think like that at all. But about 8 years ago, I became so disenchanted with what I was doing and the pressure to operate in certain ways that were generally against what I believed in, that I just decided to leave. I was at a point where I could access my occupational pension. So I thought, well, that's okay. The kids have left home, the mortgage is paid, it'll be fine. But what I hadn't bargained on, but I soon found out, was that I still needed to be busy, to be mentally active. And then one of my friends suggested I set up as a virtual assistant, because years and years ago, that had been my background. I started out doing kind of admin and secretarial work. So that's what I did. So I was a VA, but just for a very short period of time. And it was actually through networking that I moved into estate planning. There was a solicitor at one of the networking groups that asked, he was going along to a launch of a new way of providing estate planning services, and asked if I would like to go along with him to find out about it. But his idea was that I would refer my clients to him for a small referral fee. But the more I sat through the presentation, the more I thought that I could do that myself. And I thought, you know, I maybe could be quite good at that. So I looked into it further, did the training and the exams, and here I am 7 years on.
Do you know what? It's fantastic. And it's interesting what you say about, you know, you'd resigned yourself to early retirement, hadn't you? And then it was because you've gone from having such a busy lifestyle to nothing at all, you decided that, you know, you needed something to occupy yourself. Because at this point, was your husband still working, or at your...
He was. I mean, we both kind of always intended that we would take early retirement. Me, maybe not quite as early as I ended up retiring, but he was already phasing himself out. He'd gone down, he was doing a lot of work because he was taught PE and IT. He was doing a lot of work with primary school PE from Blackfine. And so then he phased that to 2 to 3 days a week. So he was already phasing out, but you know, he's quite happy to be fully retired now. But for me, no, I still needed to be busy. And this just suits me perfectly because it's totally flexible around the time and, you know, how much time I want to give to it, how and when I can meet clients. So it's ended up being a perfect compromise, really.
And as a small business owner now, what would you say the sort of biggest challenges have been since you started up? Because a lot of people just think, oh, I'm going to start up a business, it's going to be great, I'm going to, you know, provide a service or sell some products. But it's not all as glamorous as what it sounds, because people think, oh, I've got a great work-life balance, but in reality you end up working more hours than, you know, than you ever did before when you were employed and working full-time.
You're certainly never off duty. You know, the idea of walking away, not that I did that, to be honest, but, you know, for a lot of people, walking away on a night time or a weekend or holidays and you shut off, I mean, forget that when you become self-employed, because you're always accessible. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to be successful and build your business, then you need to be. But I think for me in the early days, the biggest challenge was realizing that I needed to be a jack of all trades. Mm-hmm. Coming from a kind of corporate educational world, I was used to having teams of, you know, you would have the IT support, you'd have the marketing team, you'd have the accounts team. And then all of a sudden you realize that you've got to upskill in lots of different areas, because the book stops with you and you're the one that has to do all of those things. But by the same token, that's where networking becomes important, because you meet all of these people that are experts in those skills, and that's where you kind of start sharing, you know, ideas and bouncing ideas off each other, getting that support from people. But I think as well, particularly that this last year has been having to be reactive and flexible, you know, and that's been for everybody because of the pandemic. But certainly with the legal profession, things have changed in legal terms that have been the same for years and years and years. And for me, it actually has been a positive thing. Mm-hmm. Because now I can't meet clients face to face. We're doing meetings over video, Zoom, FaceTime, etc. And so that's opened up things geographically for me, that I'm now taking business right around the country, where before that wouldn't have been practical because I wouldn't have physically been prepared to travel down to Essex, to meet a client. But now I've had a couple of clients from down that way, just because we can do it through video chat. So it's just, you know, keeping on top of things and being reactive to things that are changing, but it all comes from you. You know, there's nobody else saying you have to do this. You either realise you need to do it or you get left behind.
Yeah, and my next question was about networking, which you've touched on very briefly, but my question is, you know, how important has networking been to you? And specifically, you know, what does DBN mean to you and you know, your business?
Well, I've been a member of DBN for probably at least 7 years. I joined pretty much straight away when I set up the VA business. And I was actually part of the group when we thought the network was going to close. Mm-hmm. Membership had fallen to a point where we were getting maybe 10 people turning up to a meeting. And I remember it was the AGM and Gary came along as a guest for the first time. And I think he might have had David with him as well. I'm not sure about that. But the motion was discussed that the group was thinking of closing because none of the committee were wanting to continue in the role that they had and they couldn't see a way forward. And Gary being Gary piped up and said, well, I'd be willing to go on to the committee if that would help. And by the end of that first meeting that he came to, he was appointed as chair of the group. And the rest is history. And, you know, I think we'll all be forever grateful because Gary, David and John have done an amazing job at turning things around, making the group what it is today. Mm-hmm. I mean, in the early days, I did a lot more networking than I probably do now. I think you do when you first start out. And I'm a huge fan of DBN. It's by far the most friendly and welcoming group. Mm-hmm. And I think how they've adapted during the pandemic and what they have on offer on a monthly basis for a very, very reasonable fee, I think is nothing short of miraculous. I think it's testament to the amount of effort that they put in keeping the group together and finding new and different ways of doing things. I just think it's amazing.
Yeah, and during the pandemic, I know that I've spoken to a lot of people on podcasts like yourself, and they've all had a story to tell of how they've had to diversify during COVID. Obviously, you've touched on business is almost expanded due to the fact that now everyone's turning to the likes of Zoom or Teams or FaceTime to communicate now. Where do you see yourself in the next year, Jan? Do you see this continuing, you know, even if we go back to normal where you can do face-to-face meetings? What does this new sort of adaptation to your business mean to you?
I think obviously I would still like to go back to face to face, certainly, you know, for part of the service that I offer. But to be honest, having an initial meeting with a client by video is so much more cost effective for both the client and for myself. The days of me travelling up to North Northumberland, leaving here at kind of 6 o'clock on a night to go to an appointment once people are in from work and settled, and then you might sit for an hour and a half with the client, and then driving home, you're getting home at, you know, 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. I mean, that will just become a thing of the past. You know, I won't be that willing. I mean, I'm not saying I wouldn't do it, but, you know, to have that initial meeting through a Zoom call to get those initial discussions out of the way and get a feel for what it is that the client is wanting to put in place, and then to be able to go back to them with a plan and with options. Because I could meet with clients two or three times before we actually get to the point of agreeing something. So if I can cut out one or two even of those long journeys and traveling, it makes a huge difference.
Yeah. I'm guessing, would it be fair to say that it puts the potential client at ease when they're being able to get in from work, sitting around the table with a cup of tea and talk to you, chat to you on Zoom? It gets sort of, do you feel as if they're a little bit more relaxed and able to chat to you because you're not physically there in front of them? You know what I mean?
I think they are now. I think certainly for some people, maybe the older generation that are often the ones that I would see, they were probably more nervous at first. You know, they weren't used to FaceTime and Zoom, etc. And really, even now, some of the older generation, you wouldn't be able to do. You know, there are some clients who will only meet you face to face. So, you know, during the major lockdown, then things did have to be put on hold, and, you know, until we were able to meet up physically again. But certainly I think it's more relaxing for clients, certainly now that people are getting more used to it.
And so, Jan, if any of the listeners are out there who are wanting to get in touch with you, what's the best way they can get in touch with Jan Cook Wills and Trusts?
Well, I have a Facebook page, which is Jan Cook Wills and Trusts. I'm on LinkedIn under Jan Cook. I have a beautiful website.
You do? You certainly do.
Designed by
me. Yes, it's a shameless plug.
And obviously, contact details are on there. Email is jan.jcwt@gmail.com or telephone 07988 722 688.
That's fantastic. So Jan, thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome.
It's certainly, I've learned a lot, and I've known you for a little while, but I'm sure our listeners out there will have found that particularly interesting. Thank you very much, and hopefully I'll see you. Are you going to tomorrow's JVN meeting?
Yes, I am. I'm sure I'm registered for it. Yeah.
Do you know, it's a Zoom meeting that we have, and there's about 40 odd attending tomorrow. So, you know, it's really, really encouraging. And I've been told, I think it's about a 50-50 split. So we've got quite a lot of newbies coming along. So that'll be interesting and exciting. Well, thank you very much. And I'll see you tomorrow.
Thank you. Okay, see you.
Bye.
Bye.